James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And I know I believe there's a companion to this. Somewhere in Peter, it's humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And both of them are very good. But humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The title of this message, How God Lifts Us. Now, some of us, we've lifted weights before, and we know what it's like when you lift wrong. How many of you have lifted something wrong? And maybe you're not even a weightlifter, but you've lifted wrong, and you know what it's like. You know, you feel it in the back, and you know, you remember the advice that you always received. You know, don't lift with your back. You're supposed to lift with your legs. But sometimes we ignore that very good advice. But as it turns out, the legs are like, I read, they're like a hydraulic lift. And so we lift with the legs. The back was not designed to be a hydraulic jack, but the legs were. And so when I think about lifting, I thought about this verse in the realm of lifting, and God is in the business of lifting. The Bible actually affirms this repeatedly. Specifically, the Bible says that God will lift our burdens. God lifts our burdens. That is, that God will carry what we cannot. When we lift our burdens using our own strength, we are lifting incorrectly, and there are consequences. Have you ever felt like the burdens of life are more than you can carry? I won't ask you to raise your hand, because I know probably every one of you have gone through some season of life where you just feel like it's too much. I want to assure you this morning that you are not alone. King David, as you know, he is my go-to man when it comes to handling life's burdens. And with life comes burdens. With life comes trials. There is a certainty that there is an emotional weight that comes with just living life. That's a fact. Do you remember what it was like as a kid growing up? You know, I think one of the greatest things of being a kid is you don't feel life's burdens. Your parents do. In fact, you may be one of their burdens. But you don't feel it yourself. In fact, you're just out to have a good time. I don't know exactly when it happened with you, but I remember there was a point in my own life where I recognized the burden that my mother carried. Finally, I came to a place and I recognized that mom goes through things. She struggles. It was when I was about 10 years old and my mother and father had gone through a divorce, and my mother packed up the four kids and she moved us to Florida to be near her mother. And I'll never know anyone who could go longer on a dollar or two of gas back in those days. I mean, the car we drove, just sometimes it was coasting in on fumes. She just never had enough money. And it was tough. And I watched her go through those trials and those struggles, and I recognized that my mother was under burden. But I also recognized in her that she had a strength that was much greater that she relied upon, and she persevered through those trials and those struggles, and she was a woman that was so strong in the Lord. But I want to turn to a biblical example. King David, he's the author of Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is David going through a time of deep distress. Let's look together at Psalm 55. Look at verse 4. My heart is severely pained within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away, and I would be at rest. First principle I want to bring out in this is the principle of the desire to escape. The psalmist is overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with the burdens of life. He said, my heart is severely pained within me. The psalmist is literally scared to death. He's afraid of death. And he writes, or he states, the terrors of death have befallen me. The psalmist is so afraid that it's affected his entire being. It's affected his body. It's affected his mind. It's affected his emotions. And he says, fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. And the psalmist is overwhelmed to the point of absolute horror. And he says, and horror has overwhelmed me. David was an overwhelmed man with the burdens of life. Have you ever wanted to escape? Have you ever wished you could just, you know, remove yourself from whatever is going on in life? Well, David was. Listen to this next statement, verse 6. And so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Oh, that I had wings. Oh, that I could sprout wings. Oh, that I could just fly away. And, oh, man, I'd love to have some rest. I'd love to get away from this. I'd love to have that peace of mind. I wished I could just divest of all these issues going on in my life. Oh, that I could fly away. You know, David wrote this psalm when he was betrayed by a very close friend. When I think of David, I believe that he was a man that I don't think he had a lot of friendships. He knew a lot of people and everyone knew him, but I sense in David that he was someone who had very few people that he counted as close to him, that he actually took into his life and that he trusted. And there was a man that David trusted deeply and he believed in and thought was a good friend, and that man betrayed him. And it crushed him. And it wasn't just this man, it was his own family. You remember Absalom, his son, turned on him. Take the kingdom from the father. Based on this psalm, it would seem that the betrayal is of a nature that is so severe that somehow and in some way it jeopardized the kingdom, it jeopardized his life. It was more than just a friend turning away. There was jeopardy, there was danger. And so he writes this psalm in response. And David wanted more than anything just to fly away, be at rest from these horrific circumstances. But principle number two, God allows. God allows. I want you to think about something just for a moment. It might be stretching it to say that God caused the circumstances that David was faced with. I don't know. But one thing, there is a certainty that God certainly, he certainly allowed it. And I think of others in the Bible that God didn't cause, but he allowed. When I think of those, I think of Job. Think of all that Job went through, but God didn't cause it, but God allowed it. You remember Satan had to go before Job and he had to ask God. He had to actually ask him for permission to get at Job. And God gave him permission. But it was a limited permission. God does allow difficult circumstances, and I want you to think about this just for a moment. It makes perfect sense. We can never experience the joy of being lifted up until we are down. Do you get that? We can never experience what it's like to be lifted by God unless we are first down. I've been down. You've been down, and how joyful and how wonderful it is when God lifts us up. But here's what I want you to know. Whenever we are brought down, as God allows that, God never leaves us alone at even one single moment during our disparity that I'm aware of, there is only one child of God. There is only one who's ever been left alone. And that was the Son of God. Hanging on the cross, there was a moment in the life of Jesus where he cried out and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus bore that isolation for us so that we would never have to bear it. And when he took on sin, he took on my sin and he took on your sin, God shut the door on Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, David, the author of Psalm 55, you also know that he's the author of Psalm 23, and it's one of our favorites we go to so often. Yes, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He never leaves us. He doesn't isolate us. When we're down and when he allows us to go down, he stays with us. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You are never alone. God doesn't leave us with our problem. He is there with us. But he's more than there with us. And that's what I got out of this. It is during these seasons of despair that we discover that God will do far more than just be with us. He'll actually carry us. If we go back to Psalm 55, we find that God does not always give us the wings that we desire. Have you ever wanted some wings? Have you ever prayed, God, remove me from this? And God doesn't. Have you ever longed to fly away and to flee a situation? And God doesn't. But here's what he does. We're going to look at verse 22. What we discover that God does is God actually, he sustains us as we're going through it. Let's look down now at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will what? Sustain. He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He's in control. His hand is upon you. In fact, last night, another one of those nights, I couldn't sleep. And my Bible was open beside the bed there. And I just put the light on it and I picked it up. And I was thinking about the message today. And I looked right down at a verse. And that verse said, his righteous right hand holds you. Oh, what a beautiful addition to the idea that we cast our burdens on us. He sustains us. He's never removed from us. But not only that, he's holding on to us with his righteous right hand. Let's take a moment. Let's look at that word sustain. That's a very important word in this passage. You know, elsewhere in the scriptures, this same Hebrew word is used in the context of measuring. Now, you ladies know what a measuring cup is. Some of you men may know what a measuring cup is. We use a measuring cup to measure out the ingredients as we look at a recipe, and it calls for 4 cups or 3 cups or whatever it is, and we have that measuring cup. That measuring cup is intended to hold the ingredients. And that is the background, that is the foundation of this actual word, is to measure. And so the idea is that God does hold us. God contains you and God sustains you. That means that God will not only carry the load, but it's telling us that as he carries the load, he also carries us. And the idea here is that God is going to carry us through whatever the trial, whatever the circumstance, whatever it is that is so heavy, whatever burdened David's heart to such a great degree, David understands that God's going to carry him through it. I think what a comfort. You know, when you lift life circumstances, you know what you're doing. When you're carrying life's load, do you know what you're doing? You're lifting with your back. You're carrying, you're lifting incorrectly. And there's consequences. So let's go back to James chapter 4. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. James is talking about this same basic principle that God will, he's going to take a hold of you. He's not just going to take a hold of you. He's not going to keep you down with a burden. He's actually going to, he's going to lift you, and he's going to carry you through. I love living on the ranch. There's always some new experience. But you know, as living on the ranch, you know what you are? You're a caretaker for a bunch of animals. That's what you are. You take care of the animals. And I think that it's nice that cows basically are somewhat self-sustaining. They eat the grass. And until it gets cold in the winter and the grass dies away, you don't need to do much. You don't need to feed hay. You can drive around and you just look out there and you see the cows. They're taking care of themselves. And even when they're laying down, they're still chewing. They got all these little stomachs in there. And so when they get through with it the first time, it goes down into a stomach, and then they decide, well, there's still some vitamin K left in there, so let's bring it back up again. Now, you and I refer to that as acid reflux. And when that happens, it's plop, plop, fizz, fizz. But for the cows, that's good stuff. Man, second time around is even better than the first. And they're self-sustaining. But sometimes a cow will die. They do. And a cow will leave a little calf that is now alone. It had been receiving the nourishment from its mother. It had been drinking her milk. And now it is without that nourishment. I'm usually aware when that happens. As I drive around, I will see a calf that is alone. And when I first see that calf, it is interesting because in general, when you first see them, they are still full of vigor. They're spry. They jump around, and if I try to get close to them, boy, they make a beeline for the brush, and you might as well forget it. But I know that calf cannot sustain itself, and I know that it's just a matter of time. And I know that in time I will see that calf again, and it will not be as spry. It will be weakened. And I have to wait until it is in that weakened place. And then I can go, and in general, I can probably just walk up to that calf, and I'll have to take it down, and I'll have to tie it, and I'll have to carry it. And I carry those calves. I've carried many calves. And I take them, I carry them, I put them in the truck, and I take them home, and we get a bottle. And at first, they don't want the bottle. I'm not a mother. Delene's not a mother. But once they figure out that we are trying to sustain them with that bottle, and they get a hold of that bottle and they realize what it is, it's a completely different calf. They no longer run from you. When you come out with the bottle, they run to you. They are happy to see you. You are their mother. You know, I mean, you're their nourishment. You're sustaining them. And they run to you. You know, sometimes people are like that with God. God knows when we need to be carried. God knows when we need to be sustained. God knows when we have burdens that are weighing us down. And he's perfectly willing to carry the burdens. He would carry us. But we need to be willing to be carried. We need to be willing to allow God to do all that he would do. But so often, you know, we see God as a last resort. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Or maybe you've said it. Going through a trial, going through a hard time, and we've done everything we can do. We've tried everything, but it's just not working. I guess there's only one thing left to do. We just got to pray. Or it's like, well, I guess we just have to trust God. It's like, man, why didn't we just come to that in the first place? Why is it that we have to get into those weakened positions where we realize we cannot sustain ourselves before we finally just say, hey, man, you could do this at the beginning. You don't have to do it at the end. To humble yourself before God, it means that you're not running from God during the circumstances. You may feel frisky. You may be full of yourself, filled with a self-confidence. I certainly was. But you get weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally you give up and you let God pick you up and carry you. You know, I think there's a better way. To humble yourself is to come to God first. In other words, don't run from God. Run to Him. Acknowledge to God your weakness. That is part of the humility, is that acknowledgement that, God, I need to be sustained. I cannot sustain myself. Acknowledge your incapacity. Imagine David. He's king. He's the ruler. He's over the kingdom. He's over Israel. He's respected. He's looked up to. He's the one that David has, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Imagine being that man and going through something like this, the humility it takes to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need to be sustained. And so to humble yourself before God is to acknowledge your incapacity, acknowledge God's great ability. And what this means is that you are actually, in every circumstance in life, you're actually faced with a choice. Either you can be humbled. Have you ever been humbled? But you know there's a difference. You can either be humbled or you can humble. Do you understand the distinction? The first is what will eventually happen, but the second is what we should be willing to do. We can either be humbled, which will eventually happen as we become weak and we become unstable in life. But then there is humbling. It's a choice. James is saying that we must be willing to take on that attitude of humility before God. And when we do, we are now in this position where God can receive the burden and He will carry our burden. But then God does even more. He carries us. He picks us up. And the Word of God assures us that He sustains us. In other words, we are contained in Him. He holds us. And He carries us. One night I dreamed. I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one. During the low periods of my life, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said, God, You promised me, Lord, that You would walk with me always. Why, when I have needed You most, have You not been there for me? And the Lord replied, times when you have only seen one set of footprints, my child, that's when I carried you. He carries us. Isn't that wonderful? He'll carry us. This is how God wants us to live. He did not design us to sustain ourselves. He designed us and he created us to be sustained by him. But we must let him. And so we humble ourselves. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. That's the passage this morning. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Father, we thank you for your word. It brings such comfort to our hearts. For you are greatly aware of the burdens that we carry, and you will never force us to cast them upon you, but you invite us to. And your word says you will carry us. Oh God, we thank you. Thank you that we don't go through this life alone. We face no problem by ourselves. You're there with us. And you assure us that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Only Jesus was forsaken for us so that we would never be forsaken by you. And so, Lord, we choose to humble. Oh, that we may not be humbled, but that we may humble. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In Jesus' name.